4% of 1,075 American adults say they were likely to make a New Year's resolution. Among them, 13% set out to exercise more, making it the most common resolution. Related ambitions to lose weight and eat better ranked third and fourth respectively. Together, they're goals for almost a third of all resolution makers. But such lofty ambitions, she writes, are notoriously hard to keep. The cold, hard truth about how our determination peaks and wavers and how many of us will inevitably fall off the wagon is in the data, end of quote. 67% of people with gym memberships never use them. Dare I ask, even in a congregation of this size, how many has a gym membership? Now, you don't have to raise your hand because on grounds that might incriminate you, but how many has not used their membership yet? Few brave ones. There are approximately 131,700,000 health club members worldwide, and remember, over half of them will not even use that very thing. People are wanting to eat right. People are seeking alternative medicines if needed. It's a healthy me type of mentality. They come in all shapes and sizes. Now, truth be told, I used to work out a lot. I'd work all day in construction, then I'd come home, strap on a 20-pound vest, and I'd go walk, and my wife and I would walk and work out for 2 miles every day but Wednesday because we had church. Now, I've probably packed on 20 pounds without the vest. And I think the majority of my exercise comes from push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups, and the such. I push up my belly to tighten my belt. I pull up spoonfuls of ice cream, and I sit up next to the edge of the table to proceed with my UFC fighting skills, slamming food into my mouth and a glass of sweet tea on the list. That's me. Now, there are those weekend warriors. They only do it as long as they can carve out the time slot. Again, I don't dare ask how many weekend warriors are saying, today is the day I'm going to start working out, because you might be lying in the house of God, and we want to save that for later. Now, so there are weekend warriors. There are the casual walkers. Those are the ones that get up and make a declaration of change, but that soon changes as the weather changes. There are the dedicated walkers. We call them the mall walkers. Brother Andy, I think we may have a
the
short video.
The shopping mall is an American institution, a single area where one can find clothes, jewelry, and Dippin' Dots.
And I love going to the mall, but there's one thing that I've never associated it with. Power walking.
This is the Palisades Center Mall, over 2 million square feet of shopping, and these are mall walkers, a group of people whose main source of exercise is walking around a mall. But why would they do this? Well, let's find out.
Why do you love walking around the mall?
Well, because the number one is flat. In the wintertime, it's warm.
Because it's good exercise and we see a lot of people.
You have the bathrooms here.
That's very important.
That's different floors, different days, sometimes right 4, 3, 2, 1, sometimes 1, sometimes 2.
You're a wild woman.
Why do you like walking the mall so much?
Well, there's more. Early in the morning, not too many people.
Oh.
You don't have to bang into.
This is your morning here, guys. This is it.
We get the urge to exercise. We lay down until the urge leaves us.
How many days a week do you walk the mall?
Come on, clap your hands for the mall walkers.
Your friend says you only walk to the coffee shop, isn't that true?
Are there any mall walkers here in the house today? Would you shout amen? A few. Now, so we've got the casual walkers. We've got the weekend warriors who walk only when times are right. The casual walkers who walk according to when the weather is correct. The dedicated mall walkers who obviously, according to this video, only go to the mall to walk because the bathrooms are closed and they can sit down when they're tired. There is, as we have already witnessed, there's Walker, Texas Ranger. There he is. Walker, Texas Ranger. And then there are the serious ones. They train for this very moment. It's the speed walkers. And they do this, they do this to win. And it was shocking to me whenever I understood and found out that speed walking is an Olympic event. Believe it or not. Brother Andy, why don't we show them a little bit of clip of what
it's
speed walking looks like. Can you turn that up, Brother
Andy? We're expecting hot, dry conditions today.
Look at this.
Unlike a few days ago for the women's walk.
As electrifying as a hairdryer thrown into a hot tub, my friend.
And there's a spill early on. But it doesn't stop the leaders.
He's got magic in his feet. Look at this. Twinkle toes. Stardust.
These two are trying to make an early break. But can they keep it up for 50 grueling kilometres?
Merciless, like Kathy Bates with that sledgehammer in that movie. Remember that misery?
And it's not all competition there. There's also some cooperation along the way.
Like a Jedi Knight! No, better than that, a Templar Knight. This is a flash of pure inspiration.
Look at that.
But at the 45 kilometre mark,
that's what I want to be when I grow up. Somebody clap screen. Your hands and say amen. So, as we can see, there really is an Olympic event for speed walkers. Everybody say speed walkers. So we got casual walkers. We've got the dedicated mall walkers. We've got Walker, Texas Ranger. And we've got the Olympic speed walking. But can I be so bold right now to tell each and every one of us that walking with Jesus can never be viewed as a fad, a craze, a trend, or an infatuation, but rather we must walk with Jesus every single day. We've got to have a relationship with Jesus every single day. Come on, somebody. Would you clap your hands and make that declaration? I will walk and not faint. I will walk and not faint. So I have personally settled the issue that I may never speed walk in a marathon as in the Olympics, and I'm okay with that. I may never gain notoriety across the internet. You may not even see me around a local gym or cruising around your neighborhoods, but I have determined that within myself, rain, sleet, or snow, good days, bad days, ups and downs, I choose today that I will walk with Jesus no matter what. No matter if it's a good day or it's a bad day, I'm walking with Jesus. I walk with Jesus. You see, the Apostle Paul, he had some insight in his writings that were directed towards Timothy, but yet the words echo down the corridors of time and describe our days, the days in which you and I find ourselves in today. It describes it to a proverbial T. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 and 5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false witnesses, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. When translation reads like this, it's a little more modern term for us to understand. It says it like this: don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, crude, coarse, unbending, slanderous, impulsively wild, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, and here, I like this, bloated windbags, addicted to lust and yet allergic to God. If that doesn't describe the time and we're living in, I don't know what else in the Bible will say is true. People are addicted to lust and yet allergic to God. Paul said it like that, and Paul said that there will be perilous times. Perilous times will come. Amen. And that word is an interesting word because it doesn't just mean dangerous times that are ahead, or add in the Greek of the knowledge of that word. It means troublesome. It's harsh. It's fiercely difficult to cope with. You see, the problem here today is that in these last days in which we're living in, not only will there be dark days, as one translation writes, but then add in that terminology that the Apostle Paul was utilizing. He said that these days in which we find ourselves in today would be perilous or dangerous because they are annoyingly difficult to deal with. You see, Paul, he nailed it there prophetically speaking about our time. Annoyingly difficult. It just doesn't seem to go away. It's like the mosquito in the middle of the night. It's like the fly when you're trying to eat something. It's just there. No matter how much you swat at it, it keeps coming around. It just, you can count on it. It just keeps coming around. It just keeps coming around. And that's what Paul is saying, that in the end times, we're going to see bloated windbags. I love that word. That's just hilarious to me. And if that doesn't describe about half of the world out there, somebody say amen. But this is just something we're going to have to deal with. Maybe not every day, but certainly it is a tremendous adjective that describes the times in which we're living in. And yes, hear me today. I've heard the news. I've seen the things. I feel the squeeze at the gas pump. Someone say amen. Matter of fact, one article I read stated that we're going to endure a shortage of wheat in biblical proportions. Not that wheat will be our main staple of food, but because costs will go up, food prices in general will go up. I mean, we've got, listen to this, folks, we've got egg dealers on the corners now. Egg dealers. Sister Donna, we're probably going to need egg dealers and inspirations at some point in time. They're shuffling it through. But hear me today. As taxes are escalating, quality medical care becomes less available, prescription drugs are consuming our budgets, crime is out of control in many areas, our national value system is plundering, there's wars and there's threats of wars. Dare I mention the recent tragedies that has left many wondering whether their child is safe at school or even going to a grocery store. Amen. Sin, hear me today, is abounding completely out of bounds. Right is wrong and wrong is right. But hear me clearly today, there will be a group of people that says, I want a relationship with Jesus called the Christ. I will walk with him and not faint. I determined to know Jesus Christ and him crucified, that there's no thing, no weapon formed against me that will prosper. Would you clap your hands and shout hallelujah? Why don't you say, I will walk and not faint? See, Daniel 11:32 reads like this, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. They that have a relationship with God. One translation, the ESV says, but the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. NIV, but the people who know their God will firmly resist him. The NKJV reads, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out exploits. In various translations, the message there in this particular text is the same. Know God and take action. If you know God, if you have a relationship with God, you will be strong and you will take action. You will walk with Jesus every day. So if you want to survive in these crazy times we live in, the only way to do that is to have a relationship with Jesus called the Christ. You see, when you're in a relationship, you know the likes and the dislikes. You understand them a little bit. Now, after 20 years of marriage, I kind of have a pretty decent idea of what my wife likes and dislikes. And then there's days that I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Come on, man, say amen. But you see, it is the exact same in our relationship with the Lord. You see, we begin, the more we walk with him, the more we have this relationship. We understand his likes and his dislikes. We understand the way he's thinking. And the good thing is the word of God tells us exactly what his thoughts are. Amen. They that know their God, that have a relationship with God, they're going to have a relationship to seek their favor. And Paul was writing to the church of Galatia with the concern that they would follow. He had this concern that they were going to start following after those who were perverting the said gospel that was given to them. It wasn't a suggestion, but it was a command. So he writes this in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. He says this, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing things that you want to do. You see, he's telling them, if you want to survive perverted gospels, you need to walk in the Spirit. It is so important today that if we are going to be a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led community of believers, that you and I develop a relationship to know his wants, his likes, his dislikes by walking in the Spirit. That's the only way to survive it. So Paul, we understand that word walk means to conduct life. We conduct our life in the Spirit. Because the nature of the point he was making, Paul, a scholar in his own rights, and anointed by God Almighty, he wrote and he used two words in the Greek language to emphasize this very point to us. It's peripateto. And that means to walk around in a complete circuit or a full circle. You see, because we understand a circle has no corners or edges. It's a closed two-dimensional shape. So in other words, here's what Paul is telling you and I to do. He's saying, don't let anything cause there to be a break in your connection to Jesus Christ. Don't allow any one thing that will work its way in that connection. Make that commitment to follow Jesus. You connect to the Spirit, and the Spirit will connect to you. That's the only way to make it in this world. Somebody say hallelujah. So the only way, hear me today, the only way that we are going to impact our homes, the only way that you and I are going to impact our families, our communities, is if we have a relationship, a continuous connection to Jesus. And there's nothing, no thing, no single item that can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. We got to be committed to the plan, committed to his purpose, and committed to have a made up mind. When I was watching those walkers, I'm telling you what, I thought that takes commitment to walk around in those goofy looking little shorts. I mean, that's committed to the cause. You see those speed walkers? I'm thinking, I hope they make a lot of money because you couldn't get me to dress up like that for. I would watch that. Brother Andy sent that one to me and I'm like, twinkle toes walking like that. That's what that guy said. And then the accident, the one guy's walking and he falls over and he creates this pandemic. This pandemonium just broke out and people falling all over. And I thought, no way, there ain't no way I'm going to do that. Now, some of you are probably going to practice at home tonight. I've researched it now. And it's got to be toe, heel, toe, heel. You can never have one heel or toe leaving at, you know, there's got to be a connection between toe and heel. Okay, so if you're going to try this, now I'm not going to ask anybody to get up and try it because it would be a sight to see. But when I started walking that, watching that walking, again, heel toe, and you just got to move like this, you know. But I thought, oh my Lord, these jokers get up in the middle of the day and they're going to eat certain food because they want power to walk right. And I started watching, and then I watched the mall walkers and I commend them. I mean, I really do. I used to get up and walk with my grandfather when I was a kid, and we'd go mall walking. We'd eat Raisin Bran and put bananas in it. I don't know why, but he said that's good for energy. And so we'd go out walking, and I'd watch people, and they're like, Grandpa, they're passing us on the left. And he's like, and you know, he's trying to get going, and you know how it goes. But what I've realized is this, is that there is dedication to the said walk. And I equal that out spiritually to say to you and I, that if you and I want to make it to heaven, we got to equal our playing ground here. We got to have equal dedication, that if I'm going to put it in the flesh, I'm going to put it in the spirit. If I'm going to walk in the, I'm going to walk in the spirit. The only way you're going to make is you've got to make a continuous connection to Jesus. You see, God, he's very much interested in you and I walking with him. Look at someone, just say, are you walking with Jesus? Turn around and look at somebody else and say, are you walking with Jesus? Are you walking with Jesus? And I know some of you are thinking, you turned around and you were trying to pose like Walker Texas Ranger there, giving killer looks and all that stuff. But you see, God, he is interested in you and I walking with him. He wants us to walk with him, yet too often we get experience-oriented but relationship-neglected. Where we hear, here's how it works. I clapped today. That was good enough for me. I raised my hand today. That ought to count for something, and we commend that. But at the same time, we can't look at it and say, hey, I'm basing this on an experience and not a relationship. And too often we get focused on moments, which is great. We need them. But we've got to be careful that we do not measure our spiritual successes on a mere moment and forget that it takes a daily walk with Jesus every single day. We got to have a relationship with him between the high moments and the low. When I'm going to tell you right now, and I know we've already kind of broke the news, but when the doctors were telling us that my son may have had leukemia and all the markers were pointing to that, I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't get happy about it. Aiden, go ahead, stand up, Bubba. I know you're tired. Look at that dude. He's taller than me. Put your shoulders back. There he is. Look at that. He lets me know he's taller than me. That doesn't take much, son. But I'm going to tell you, when they began to read off the diagnosis and start talking about seeing an oncologist, I wasn't jumping for joy and saying, this is going to be a great time. What I was really worried about is, God, I'm walking with you. Why is this happening? I've got to understand something. In the good times and in the bad times, I've got to walk with Jesus. I've got to have a relationship with Jesus. Every day, every moment, every hour. And I cannot allow one thing to get in that. But we've got to have a relationship with our Lord between the highs and the lows. When the music isn't pumping, and when you're not feeling that great, and when the bad news comes in, the question remains, are you walking with the Lord? I will walk and not faint. For you see, the measure of our relationship with the Lord is not based on whether or not we shouted today or clapped our hands, but rather the measure of our relationship with the Lord is, are you walking with Jesus every day? Psalms 84 and 11, for the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Proverbs 2 and 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Proverbs 28 and 18, whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. Micah 6 and 8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord doth require, that you love mercy and walk humbly with God. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus that you have received of us, how you ought to walk and please God. You see, you and I are responsible for our own walk with the Lord. And we are commanded on multiple occasions from Scripture that states that we are to walk with God and please him. Scripture that has graced the postcards and placards. It is Isaiah chapter 40 and 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I realize, I've said this often, many times, that we've got to crawl before we walk and walk before we run. But here the Lord, notice how the Lord inspired Isaiah to write this very text. He said, you're going to fly like an eagle, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. So it's the total opposite of how we might operate. We'd all say that in order to fly, you might want to figure out how to walk first. But you see, the Lord inspired Isaiah on purpose to write it in this manner because, hear me today, he knew and understood that it's easy to fly when miracles just happened. It's easy. It's easy to fly. And I mean, we're up on a high saying, oh man, God can do anything. Because you see, we can fly or we can glide for a while with just the right air under our wings. He knew. The Lord knew, and he inspired Isaiah the prophet to write, run and not grow weary, because he knew that you could run the moment you received the Spirit of God. The moment you received a blessing, man, you could take off, and man, you're just all good and happy and giddy about it. Somebody say amen. But when the flying is done, and when the running has stopped, the measure of your relationship and my relationship with the Lord, is measured by our desire to walk and not faint. Everybody say that. I will walk and not faint. Here's what that really means. I'll keep walking even if I don't feel the Lord working. I'll keep reading the Word of God even when I don't understand it at times, why the Lord is taking something from me or adding this into me. I'll keep walking when I don't feel the greatest. I'll keep walking when Jesus, even when I feel misunderstood and criticized, I will walk and not faint. I'll walk and not faint. I heard a story and was compelled to kind of research it a little more. There's a man on a mission to seek out not just who he was, but he wanted to know how America was and how America ticked. So he did what only he could do, and that was he'd take a grassroots type of approach to seeing America firsthand. And in 1973, Peter Jenkins went on a quest to just, all his desire was, everybody say, is to walk. He was going to walk. He just wanted to see America because it was kind of in that time for the hippie zone, and he was in that time where whether I believe in God or I don't believe in God, or this person's doing this, does everybody do it just like that? What is the culture of America like? So he decided to go on a quest to just walk. Now, this is before today, obviously. No fanfare, no TikTok or YouTube to document whether or not you're doing it correctly. It was just him and his dog, Cooper. And he writes that along the way, he worked various jobs to break the journey up and earn some money to keep going. It took him about 5 years to make that trip from coast to coast. Peter Jenkins didn't have a road crew who'd help carry a backpack or change out his socks if and when necessary. There were no water bottles being handed to him. He simply decided that after a failed marriage, he's just going to start walking, and whatever happens will happen. He walked through mountains, deserts. He walked through every climate. He faced treacherous conditions from icy blizzards to 50-degree heat in the desert. And Peter Jenkins wrote that he was attacked by dogs, bitten by snakes, and was even hit by a car. And later, so was his dog, who was with him from the start but never made it to the end. Peter Jenkins, in this book, he writes, he says, he was mugged, he was stabbed, he was ripped off by thugs, you name it. Peter Jenkins went through it. All he wanted to do was walk. One source writes, and I quote, at one of his stays, the farm hippie commune in Tennessee, Cooper was run over and killed by a truck. Cooper was his dog. And after burying Cooper, he sorrowfully continued his hike solo, headed for Alabama. Once there, he met Governor George Wallace. Wallace alerted state employees to keep a helpful lookout for Jenkins. Jenkins then attended a revival meeting in Mobile run by James Robinson and embraced the Christian faith. Jenkins ended his trek in New Orleans, where he courted his new wife, Barbara, while they were living in a seminary. End of quote. But after completing such an epic feat of a human endurance, There was a journalist that came along. And they proposed this question to him. And they asked this very thing. What was the greatest thing that made you come closest to giving up and stopping your walk? I mean, I think that's a valid question, don't you? I mean, you've been doing this for 5 years now. What was the closest, what was the thing that made you just want to quit? And his response was a little staggering. It was a little out there. And I quote what he said. He said this, "It was the sand that got in my shoes." That was it. Not the weather. Not the car that hit him. Not the mud puddle he would occasionally have to drink from. Not the mosquitoes. Not the stabbing, not the beating, not the cheating. He simply replied, "It was the sand that would get in my shoes. That is what just made me think about quitting." Here's what he said. The thing almost that made me quit was the sand that got in my shoes. At times I walked for weeks and had to camp out. I couldn't get any more shoes and the sand would stay and would grind away at me. It was just a little thing. It wasn't the big things. It wasn't the huge things. It was just a little grain of sand, end of quote. So I will readily admit to all of us today that I have never seen someone quit serving the Lord over a job loss, a cancer diagnosis, or a major shift in their economical status. But I have seen more than one person quit walking with Jesus over the little things. Hear me today, because like sand, one grain may not do much damage to a car, but one grain compounded upon another grain, and put under pressure will peel the paint that's been baked onto a vehicle. You see sand. Although it might seem insignificant or even unnoticeable, the thing that could trip each and every one of us up is the little things that keep us from walking with Jesus. It's the little things that can mess with our minds. It's the lies that may have been told about us. It's the gossip that had been entertained. It's the hidden bitterness behind the facade of the smile. It's the sand that rubs us the wrong way that can make us move from walking to limping and limping to quitting. It's the harbored hate. It's the daily toils of life. It's the bitterness of a broken promise, a shattered dream. It's the unresolved assumption. And Peter Jenkins almost quit his quest because he had sand in his shoes. So I ask us today, what's been eating at us, wearing at us, that is leaving you consistently, mentally, emotionally, physically, and even spiritually thinking about quitting your walk with the Lord? One writer penned the words to this song, "I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long. Let me walk close to thee. I will walk and not faint." Hear me today. We've got to walk with Jesus every single day. We cannot let any one thing break that connection to our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot allow any one thing that will work its way in and trip you up. We cannot, hear me today, we cannot just let just little things, because it's always the little things that bother us. It's the text message that gets sent, and you, in your mind, you're a little honked off at the person or misunderstood, and you're reading it like, they said, hey. And all they were writing was, hey. Anybody ever do that? I've done it. You think you're reading it. You can hear their voice, see their face. And you're like, hey. That, can you believe they said, hey? That's all they got to say to me. But you see, many times we say, well, I'm not even going to go back there because they don't talk to me. Well, we got unresolved issues in our lives. It's the little things. It's never one big thing, but it's always those little things that trip us up. Peter Jenkins found that out. He almost quit, not when his dog died. Not whenever he was getting eaten by mosquitoes in the bayous of Louisiana. It wasn't whenever he had to drink out of a mud puddle. It was simply the little things that worked his way in. Because I'll tell you, I've walked a lot of beaches in North Carolina. And I'm going to tell you, sand doesn't just go away. You ever get sand in your car? You'll be finding it for like 10 years from now if that car makes it. I mean, you're scrubbing and you're trying to get it out, but oh, there's another piece of North Carolina. Because it's always hard, but it's those little things that get in our lives that trip us up. And I don't know about you, but if I'm going to make it to heaven, I've got to have that will to say, I will walk and not faint. Then there's that songwriter who wrote this, and some of you might know this song, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Do you know that? Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Oh, it sounds pretty good. We got a choir, Brother Manny, didn't even know. But we ought to have that daily walk. So I ask us today, what is it that you've been bargaining with, leaving you to think it's not that bad, or I'm not as bad as? Doesn't matter. Don't bargain with those things. Don't bargain with those thoughts. Adult, I ask us today, what is the sand that keeps rubbing at you and making you have thoughts of almost quitting? I will walk and not faint. It's found, as we could all stand, I'll make a long story short. But it's in Matthew chapter 17, it's in the Gospels. There's a situation that was going on that if you read at Matthew chapter 16, you'll find that Peter and the disciples, they had this great dialogue of who do men say that I am? This is what Jesus was asking of his disciples. Who are people saying that I am? And some said, well, you are Jonas. Others are saying you're Elias, the prophets. And then he looked at them and he said, but I want to know, who do you think I am? And it was Peter. He said this. He jumped up and he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, But thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he gives to him the keys of the kingdom of heaven and says, Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And I mean, that is a great revelation. And then just a few verses later in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus starts talking about being crucified and how he has to be crucified in order to save the world. And Peter gets mad. He kind of gets a burr in his saddle. He kind of gets a little bit of sand in his shoe. And he said, Not so, Lord. You're not going to die. I'm going to fight for you. And it was just moments after Jesus gives this great pronouncement and prophecy over Peter, that now in Matthew chapter 16, we find Jesus looking at Peter, saying, I rebuke thee, get thee behind me, Satan. One moment he's saying, you're going to have spiritual authority, and the next he's calling him Satan. I don't know about you, but I'd get offended over that, wouldn't you? Has anybody ever said something to you that offended you? Oh, yeah. But what I find interesting is the fact that Peter made a declaration that he was going to be, if this could even be a word to say, unoffendable. That nothing would separate him from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Because the Bible states in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 4, that 6 days later, 6 days later, read it. That Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up to the mountain, and we know, we call it the Mount of Transfiguration, where they have this great revelation of the mighty God in Christ, the prophets of old, and the law was being represented all in front of them. Jesus, God Almighty, he has this great revelation. The prophets are talking about this moment. The law was given to them, and they're understanding something. So Peter, he says this, Lord, is it good that we dwell here? Is it all right if we're even in this very place? What amazes me is just a few verses earlier, Peter could have easily got offended, and now he's getting another revelation of the mighty God in Christ. And so Peter says this, Lord, it'd do a good thing if we went through this process, and that is, let us build 3 tabernacles, one for you and one for Elias and one for Moses. And read that text of Scripture, because we find that the Lord said, you know what? And I'm paraphrasing. Just hang with me. I'm about to end this thing. Here's what the Lord says. I don't want you to just memorialize a moment. I want you to walk with me every day. Because we understand what it's like. The more you're around something, the more familiar with it you get, and the less and the more careless we get. It's like getting the new car. When you get in that new car or get new furniture, what's the first thing we tell our youngins? You ain't eating in here. And before you know it, give it a couple weeks, and you go from you're not eating in here to just take the Happy Meal. Because it happens. The more we're around something, the more familiar we get with something, the less we respect it. And here's exactly what was happening, was the Lord knew that if Peter, James, and John built a tabernacle, he understood, hey, they're going to lose their awe of who I am. I want them walking with me every single day, not just memorializing one moment with me. So I declare to us today that if you want to see Jesus in all his glory, you've got to make a decision. I'm walking with him today, tomorrow, and I'll still be walking next week. That I'm not going to let the little things get in my life that rub me the wrong way. Peter could have said, you offended me, Jesus. Jesus didn't have to run looking after Peter. Peter, I didn't mean it like that. Peter, you took my words out of context. No, Peter said, you know what? I just want to follow you, Jesus. So I don't know if maybe today you've been offended. I don't know today if there's things in your life that you're secretly dealing with. But do not let little things trip you up. And certainly don't memorialize one moment. We've got to have those moments, but don't memorialize one moment to where you can't walk with him every single day. Would you grab the hand of the person next to you right now as we begin to sing?
Falling in love.
And would you, if you feel comfortable enough, would you step up from where you are? Because in that step, that's making a declaration that I will walk with you today, tomorrow. And I'm going to keep walking whether the news is good, whether the news is bad. I'm going to walk with you, Jesus. Come on, let's just make that a declaration. Let's sing this song with that person next to you.